Zan Celia.
I want to be a name that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Sometimes my passion for being biblically responsible gets the best of me. It doesn't get the best of me because I've got anything to gain. Let me just use this as a moment here. If you call Timothy Plan, it's important that you know this, and I've said it before. If you call Timothy Plan and you tell Timothy, hey, I've got $5 million over here in XYZ, and I'm moving all $5 million over to you, I think it's really important that you know I am never going to know that. First of all, they all have strict instructions. Don't tell me. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. Certainly, they would never share the name of a person like that with me or anybody else who that might be. But they don't call me and say, hey, you won't believe this. We just got $5 million. I don't have a clue. I don't get money for that. I don't, all of a sudden, I don't get a check at the end of the month from a Timothy saying, you know, thank you for that. I get nothing. I don't know that. I don't know what is going on. I have a goal. I have a goal. I know I'm never going to achieve my goal either, but I have a goal while I'm alive. Maybe the next generation of this ministry will achieve it. But look, we have got to hit companies in the bottom lines. But more importantly, can we just stop? It doesn't matter what the world's doing. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. All of that is irrelevant. Can we, children of God, or those of us who were proclaimed to be children of God, can we stop grieving his heart? We grieve his heart enough through our own sinful nature that we are fighting every single day of our life. Can we not do it with the finances that he has blessed us with, and there's no reason to do it? So I say I'm passionate about biblically responsible investing because I'm passionate about the murder of babies. I'm passionate about the moral fiber of families that is eroding away because of pornography and gambling, those two things alone destroying that. I'm passionate about those things because I know, I don't pretend, I'm not a theologian, I don't pretend to know an enormous amount about the nature of God. I know enough about the nature of God to be able to go through my scripture and the hermeneutic side of what I know to be able to try to interpret the God's word by understanding his nature. But look, I do know this. I know that grieves his heart. I know it does because I know enough about his nature to know that. And all I want from you is that you guys would be passionate and committed to the same. You know, to be committed to it to the same level I am, but to be committed that I'm not, listen, I grieve God's heart enough, or I have enough over my lifetime. I am blessed that he has allowed me to put food on the table every day. He doesn't promise us riches. He promises to provide for our needs. He does promise to bless us as we bless him in his work. We will be blessed. I don't know where that blessing's coming. I don't know what's coming here on earth or it's coming in glory. I'll take it in glory. That suit me fine. But we know he's going to bless it. Can we take a sigh of relief knowing that I am pleasing God and what I'm doing with the money that he has provided me? So why wouldn't he, since we have been faithful with the little that he's given us, why wouldn't he want to give us more? Says it in the Bible. I believe it. I believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God from cover to cover. Why wouldn't he bless us with even more? Look, so that's where it comes from, and I'm getting this all from Jan. Jan didn't write all that, but on Facebook, but Jan did say, mentioned how important it is to be godly stewards of our finances, Not just good stewards, I'm going to save that money, I'm not going to spend it frivolously, not just good stewards, but godly stewards of our finances, how important it is. So thank you. Don't thank me, Jan, because I need to thank you for that. So I appreciate it. All right, let me get to your question. I'm sorry. So please give me your thoughts on long-term care insurance, thinking about myself. I'll be 59 soon, listening to you on YouTube. Thank you, and God bless. So here, Jan, I mean, I think that long-term care insurance is a wonderful product. I like it. I think it's it can serve a great purpose. I like the idea that you're thinking about it now at 59 when it's least expensive, and hopefully you're in good health, so it's not going to be astronomical. So I think it's not a bad idea, but what I would say about it is that oftentimes people buy it wrong. And what I mean by that is that they it's not anything to do with the salesman, but the salesman present them with so many different options. And through those options, they choose the least expensive options to get it as inexpensive as possible. So I think particularly for you, for instance, if you're going to buy it, you need to have an inflation rider protection. You're 59. You may not need this till you're 89 or in your 90s. And I don't have to tell you what's going to happen to long-term care, skilled nursing facilities, and other kinds of care between now and the time you're in your 90s. So you've got to protect that by making sure that the daily benefit that you're receiving is going up through time. That's one thing. There's also a lot of products out there that give you guaranteed amounts of money. So they say that if you need long-term care, we will guarantee that you use it any way you want, how you need it, and it can last a year, it can last 5 years, but we're going to cap it at $400,000. I'm making these numbers up. But we're going to cap it at $400,000. There's nothing wrong with that. That is fine, and that would be some way to look. At least you're not worried about inflation, other than inflation is going to eat at how long you're going to have that policy, or be able to use that policy. So that's a good product. The other products out there that I like are the ones that give your estate some money back. So you're paying into this for all these years, and the Lord calls you home one day long before you use any of this insurance money, and you get your estate gets some of that money back. So that's another kind of policy to look for. All in all, I think it's good, but I would say this. For people that have a very large portfolio, you've got, you know, $500,000 in your IRA, you've got $100,000 in your savings account, you've got, you know, another $100,000 in other investments and stuff like that, I would question whether you need it. Do you want to spend money, because it gets very expensive? Do you want to spend money for it? Because chances are, if you've got a very large portfolio, you have enough money. You have the ability to generate enough revenues to pay for your long-term care insurance. So you probably don't need it. So I wouldn't spend the money on it. Do that. I would just keep investing and growing your account. If you have very little money, so, you know what, I'm retired, I've got, you know, very little savings, I've had a lot of different circumstances in my life, maybe even I was a little irresponsible, whatever, so I've got Social Security, I got a tiny little pension, and, you know, I can get by, but I don't have a lot of other money. Don't spend money out of your cash flow on expensive long-term care insurance. Why? Because your long-term care insurance is never going to cover all of your expenses. And you're going to end up supplementing that on Medicaid anyway. So,
would you consider taking charge of your financial stewardship while being biblically responsible with God's money? Consider partnering with Financial Issues. For a contribution of $85 a year, you'll get Dan's buy list every Monday morning. Receive our regular email alerts and have access to Dan's asset allocation models. You can ask questions of Dan as part of his market and economic conference call every month. But best of all, you'll be supporting the Ministry of Financial Issues. Would you become a partner today? You won't regret it. Go to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
I pray that I can be a great role model for him. I pray that in these trying times, that I can lead him in a way that I know will leave a godly imprint on his heart forever.
And show her how to live a life that is pure. I want her to understand how precious life is and to take care
of his body, to eat right and exercise and understand that his body is a temple of God.
I pray that our family will love Jesus, read his word daily, and obey his teaching.
The values that we share should guide us in the way that we invest. Make sure that you are investing in companies whose policies and practices align with pro-life, pro-family values. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
In November of 1620, the pilgrims came to America with the hope of building a civilization that would one day be a shining city on a hill. At the American Family Association, we believe that dream is still worth fighting for. We believe that marriage was instituted by God, that families are worth preserving, and that every human life is worth protecting. We are the American Family Association.
TheTimothyPlan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Well, welcome back. You know, one of the things that I've been talking about for the last few days, and this is it. This is the first one. It's going to be the first session here of our Getting Back to Basics. And I just recap real quick what I've been talking about. You all need, I don't care what level of investor you are, whether it's the first thing you've ever done, whether you're young, you're just starting out, you don't have any money, you're just starting to put a few things aside finally, whether it's an IRA account, an investment account, whatever it is, that's irrelevant, the kind of account. But at some point in time in your investing time when you're working on trying to build your investments, there's a couple of things that are going to go wrong. And there's certain things. There are going to be times you're coming off a very enthusiastic and optimism, a lot of optimism in the economy, and the markets are doing really good and your accounts are doing really good. And you kind of lose sight of some things. You kind of lose your way, so to speak, and things get bad. And you start kind of doing some things you shouldn't do, or doing some things that aren't really fundamentally sound. Not intentionally. It just happens. I'm telling you, trust me, it happens all the time. You need to know, you need to be able to pull back and say, wait a minute, what am I doing here? Let me get back to basics here. Let me just kind of start over. I don't mean selling everything and starting over. I mean, just kind of get your strategy, your attitude back to some basic things. So that's what this is going to be all about. Six sessions that are going to be all about that. Tomorrow at the same time, we're going to do the same thing. And I don't want you to miss this. Now, this is a precursor to Investment 101 that we're working on. There's going to be a lot more detail to that, and it's going to be broken down a little bit more. But for the sake of the program, this is going to be give you what you need, but not all that you could have. if that makes sense. So the very first thing, I'm just going to assume everybody is just starting out because that's important. And maybe you've already done this, but maybe you haven't. You're just getting started. The very first thing before you even get started, if you're following along with financial issues, that you have got to be sold out, convicted to be biblically responsible, because I never waver from that. I am immovable from that. I am going to be steadfast in my strategy in and about that, and you need to be the same. We are doing this for the kingdom. Yes, we're doing it for ourselves. God would want us to do it for ourselves, but inevitably, we are doing this to honor God, and we want to make sure that we honor God in all that we are doing, and you have to be convicted of that. You've got to be sold out for that. It can't be a passing emotion. It's got to be something that you're sold out for. That's number one. So I assume since you're listening to that, you get that, you understand. Okay, so that's first. So you're going to open an account. You got an open account. You can't do anything when you open without an account. So whether it's an investment account, IRA, or anything, I'm not going to talk about types of accounts, because these principles are the same. So you open your account. It doesn't generally, when you go to a brokerage to open an account, a Fidelity, a TD Ameritrade, a Vanguard brokerage, a Charles Schwab, an E-Trade, wherever you go to open it, you don't necessarily need money. You go online. It's the best place to do it. And you start, you click on opening an account. And then it'll ask you what kind of account. You click on that. And then you go through the process. Get the account open. You will have an account number when it's all finished, as soon as you're done. And then your next step, of course, is you got to get money in that account. Start putting money in that account. You get money. It goes into the money market portion of the account. Well, I didn't set up a money market. You don't have to. When you open your account and you send them money, there will be a money market account that money's going into. Okay, so you don't have to worry about that. And the other thing that you may want to do is transfer money. Maybe you have an old brokerage company that you didn't like. Maybe you have an investment advisor that's no longer around, not helping you. You're doing this on your own now. You've got to transfer. So the other thing you do when you open the account up is you have an opportunity to open a transfer form up. So you can get a transfer form, set that up, and you can use that to transfer the money in. So you can transfer in kind, which means just like you have it now, all the stocks or mutual funds will come over just like it is into the new account. Or you can transfer in cash. So that means you sell everything, they'll sell it for you, turn it into cash, and transfer the cash. If you are already at a discount brokerage like a Charles Schwab or an E-Trade or one of those, then you can go ahead and sell it, bring it over in cash. If you're not, don't sell it, because it's going to cost you too much money to sell it. Bring it over in kind and then sell it when you get into your new account. Okay? So once that happens, now you've got a little bit of money in the account. Maybe you're sending a check in every month. Maybe you're going to have one big check because you just got an inheritance of $10,000, and you're going to send that $10,000 in. You're going to just write on the back, here's my account number, for deposit into my account number, and it's going to, again, go into the money market account. What happens is every time you buy a stock or a mutual fund or a CD or whatever you're using, it comes directly out of this money market account inside your brokerage. If you put $1,000 in a stock, you now have $9,000 in your money market account. If you started out with 10, it just comes out. You obviously can't buy anything if you don't have any money in your money market account. So that's how it works. Now, I'm not going to belabor this, but when you sign up for your account, they're going to ask if you want a margin account. Again, I'm not going into all the detail. I'm just going to say this. Just check no and move on. You do not want a margin account. You don't want it. So just check no. And you can go on the website, look at videos about that, and find out what all that means if you want to do that. So when you start trading, after you've deposited money, then you're going to you can click on the trading screen, and I'm going to come to that at in another session. But you're going to begin to trade by looking at my buy list, and you're going to buy what's on my buy list. I'm always amazed at how many people don't understand the system. And this is why you get off track. This is why you need sometimes to get back to basics. I've had calls where people say, I've owned this stock for 6 months, I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to buy this stock. And I'll say, well, that stock's not on my buy list. Yeah, but it was. Well, yeah, it was. Just about every stock on my broad list was at 1.9. But I really like it. I'm going to buy it. Okay, well, you're free to do that if you want. That's fine. For getting back to basics means, remember how I said just a few minutes ago that you've got to be sold out committed to being biblically responsible. It's a conviction that you have. You also have to have a conviction that you trust what we're doing here at Financial Issues. Now, you don't have to have that for our benefit. It doesn't matter to Financial Issues. We don't get money if you do really well, unless you want to tithe some of it to Financial Issues. It doesn't matter to us. You don't have to follow it. But the system is there so that you would follow it, which means if it's not on the buy list, you don't buy it. There's only one exception to that. And that one exception is that if you already own the stock and it has dropped in value over the years and now it is below what you paid for it and you want to buy some to lower your average share price, then that's fine. You can do that anytime you want. As far as selling, you can sell some shares to get your profit anytime you want. There's no steadfast rule on that. Why? Because you really can't get hurt by doing that. Except you don't do it if you are an income portfolio person. Because if you sell shares, you lose income. Because the income you receive from that company is paid to you based on the amount of shares you have. You get so much money, you may get 42 cents a share. That's your income. If you don't have a share, you can't get 42 cents on it. That's how it works. So you've got to be careful if you're an income investor looking to get income and actually use the income. What you don't want to do is you don't want to necessarily take profit on that. Okay? So there are some rules that you've got to stick to. Don't think that long term, because you'll be told this, is 2 years. It's 8 years. It's 10 years. It's not 2 years. So don't think that you can become a trader. Our goal with the ministry is not to create a bunch of traders. Our goal with the ministry is to create investors, people that are going to know what they have, know why they have it, and invest in it. Now, when you start getting out of control, when things don't seem to fit, you wake up one morning, you look at your portfolio track and you say, what are these companies? I don't even know why I have those. Do I know them? I don't even remember buying them. Are they even on Dan's list? But that'll happen. You know, you get carried away with enthusiasm, and it generally happens when things are going good. And you've got to remember to stick to the program, and part of the program is you learning and understanding what you have. One of the things I say all the time is, when you start You were maybe, for the first time in your whole investment career, if you've had accounts for a long time, feel better about your money, not only because you're honoring God, because you know why you have it, where it is, what sector it's in, and it's strong, it's weak.
You like business content? I mean, if you didn't like business content, you wouldn't be listening to this show, right? What if I can give you even more of what you like? Now, we've never met, but I'm willing to bet you are very busy. Between your work, family, and outside commitments, this little car ride is your time to catch up on your favorite show. But do you always get to tune in? Exactly. Well, now there's a business club with you in mind. BizVod is the place for business videos on demand. We have partnered with this show to provide you more of the content you like. The best part? It's all on demand. That means you can log in anytime from any device and watch shows that answer all of your business questions. For a limited time, you can try it for free for 30 days. Simply go to bizvod.com and enter promo code radio. That's BIZVOD.com, promo code radio.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist, and you're done. Learn more at trypaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Before investing, a prospectus is available from the fund or your financial professional that contains this and other more complete important information. Please read it carefully before investing or sending money. Distributed by Timothy Partners Limited. Member FINRA.
Okay, welcome back. So we're talking about, this is the first segment on getting back to fundamentals, and we're starting at the very beginning. Now, I've talked about you understanding your portfolio. Here's what I used to tell people all the time. I don't so much. I've said it a few times on the air. But, and I always say it to people that come up to me at town hall meetings and say, well, I feel so good about my money. It's such a blessing. I know I'm honoring God. And, you know, I usually say, well, you feel good because you're honoring God. And it's not me that's giving you that good feeling, it's God. God is blessing you. You feel good because you know you're honoring the Lord and you're not worrying about your investments. And God is giving you that peace. But here's the other thing. If I used to say that if you can't take your portfolio, you've all heard it. You've heard it over and over again. People call and they say, well, my husband's doing this in his 401k, or I'm doing this in my 401k, and I don't know what I'm in. It's so typical. Listen, this is your future. You know, this is so that you can give more to the kingdom. This is so that you can work into ministry, that you can volunteer when you retire. You can do all the things not for the Lord and for your family. If you can't explain your portfolio, why you're in certain things, how that's impacting your weighting in that sector, and what's good about this company, if you can't do that to your next door neighbor and tell them everything you have and why you have it and how good it is, why it might be a little bad to have this, but I have it anyway. If you can't explain it, you shouldn't be doing it. So that means the vast majority of you listening to this or watching this right now are saying to yourself, wow, I guess I shouldn't have anything because I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue what I'm doing or what I'm in. It's really important. And that's the greatest satisfaction I get when people have been partners for a while, when people are investing correctly, they really feel good about what they have because they understand it. They get how all the pieces fit together. So if you're looking at your portfolio 5 years ago and you say, man, I'm way out of whack. I got this is, you know, I'm overweighted here. I don't have enough into this sector. I have too much in this sector, so on and so forth. Get back to basics. That's what we're talking about. We're going to get back to basics. The other basic thing that I want you to understand, and this is a problem when the markets are good, this is a problem. You need to understand that. If you're a small business person and you have money in your small business, you pay attention. There is a dramatic difference between investing and savings. Yeah, but Dan, the markets are so good. I'm up like 32% in my portfolio. I'm putting all my savings in. Big mistake. Savings is money that when the roof blows off your house and you got to get it patched even long enough to wait for the insurance company to get there or whatever, and you need to write a check until you get reimbursed, you take it out of your savings. The transmission blows up in your car and you got to fix it. Your savings is going to keep you out of debt, so you don't have to use a credit card to fix it. You go to your savings and you take the money out and you fix your transmission. You can't do that with investments. Because at the time the transmission blows up, maybe the day the market's at an all-time low. Maybe it's only at an all-time low for a week. But unfortunately, you got to sell something at a loss in order to get the cash to fix your transmission. You don't do that. Savings is something that is liquid. It is readily available. And it's different than investing. I don't care how good the market is. Your saving is sitting, unfortunately, in a CD or a money market account at the bank, earning practically nothing. But the goal there is to have it readily available. Now, remember the reason why things are long-term. The reason why we're long-term investors, and I'm going to finish this segment on that, and then we'll pick up again tomorrow. So these are two segments, this segment and the one before, that you've got to pay attention to. But the reason we're long-term investors is if the market goes down after a year that you've owned a particular stock, and your stock goes from a 2%, well, we'll say a 10% gain to a 10% loss, you have to have enough time that you can say, hey, oh well, it's the way it goes. And you keep it. You don't worry about it. You don't complain. You don't get concerned. Now, unless something happened that you've totally lost confidence in the company, and I've said, wow, this is a bad company. Things are bad. Their financial statement's bad, whatever it is. But aside from that, you don't care. Why? Because you still got 9 more years. You know it's going to come back up. It is. It's a good company. It wouldn't have been on my list if it wasn't. It's going to come back up. Can't promise it. Can't guarantee it. But it's likely to come back up. Time is everything. And when you're saving for retirement, it's one of the most important things. Time. Now, well, what happens now? How about 8 8 years from now, I only have two more years left in that 10-year span. The theory is that within 6-7 years, you will have had more up years than down years, and you're going to be, you almost have reached a point, we hope, that the basis of your investment is higher than what you put into it. And it kind of becomes the new low. That was the bottom, so to speak. So chances are you're going to continue to rise above that at some point in time. And that's why you need a long-term time horizon. If you are getting to that 7-8 year period and you've got some profits, it becomes critically important that you begin to build up a little bit of cash more than you'd like. Say you had 5% in cash. It would be nice to have 10, 12, 15% cash now. Why? Because if something does go down dramatically and you're a few years away, you have just made your account. You've just, by having that cash, you have just added 4 or 5 years onto your account. In other words, 4 or 5 years before you need to get to that stock because you have cash to hold you over after 2 years. So you can let it ride up a little bit longer. It's what keeps you in positive territory. So it's why that 8 to 10 year time horizon is so important. So folks, we've got to understand how we open an account, why we open an account. I don't care where you do it, because you're not investing in that company that you're doing that in. You're investing in the investments in which you purchase. And I want them to be biblically responsible because you're taking ownership in those companies. Okay? So that's what's important. It doesn't matter. They're all pretty much the same. Some are a little bit user-friendly than others, but they're all pretty much the same. And the only other thing that I need to finish, going back to the last segment, is if you are just starting out and have no money, but you want, your savings is good and you want to start buying a few stocks, use Robinhood. Just use Robinhood. Because you can buy 5 shares of stock and it's not going to cost you anything. Someday you'll transfer that out of there. But go to Robinhood. That's where you open your account. Because you don't want to pay $4.95, $5 to buy 5 shares. Now your $17 stock is now $18 stock. So you've added $1 a share to your cost basis. You don't want to do that. Use Robinhood in the very beginning. And then, you know, start thinking about changing out of that to one of these other places. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to talk about placing the trade, what it means, and what it looks like to place a trade. I'm going to talk about different aspects of placing a trade that we should be familiar with and explain to you how it works. Well, do I do it before the market opens, after the market closes? Do I put a limit order in it? And what is a limit order? Do I put a stop loss? What's a stop loss? I mean, it's giving me that option, but I don't know what that means. You know, all those kinds of things. How do we do it? And I'm going to explain it to you. Your brokerage website may be a tiny bit different. There may be some variations. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. We're going to go on to bonds, and we're going to talk about those things as well. So stick with it so you have a great understanding of what's important and some of the fundamental rules that you got to have ingrained in your mind as you think about buying, selling, investing, and continuing to do that. I will promise you the one investment advisor that you can trust more than anybody is you, along with the grace of God that I know you will have as you honor him with the money that is his, that he is entrusting you to be the best steward of that you can be. I want you to learn this stuff. I want you to be comfortable. I want you to be the smartest investor of anybody you know. That's our goal. Folks, tomorrow we're going to come back with this other segment. Stay tuned for the rest of the program. We'll be right back after this break.
He made me come, but I loved it. The town hall meeting with Dan Celia is a place where you're going to find out information that you won't get anywhere else. Honestly, he's the only person that I can really trust with any kind of financial advice.
I believe that Dan is really speaking from the heart. I think that he has definitely done the research and he understands what's going on, not only with the finances, but with the country in general.
I think young people should care about finance because right now we are in $18 trillion in debt. And that's not my parents' debt, that's my debt now.
The team that comes with him is awesome, and you get a chance to actually meet everybody.
And he has a really good presentation. He's very winsome and very engaging.
Definitely take his knowledge and then go out and do something with it.
Hi, I'm Dan Celia from Financial Issues. I hope you can join us for one of our upcoming town hall meetings. It's a lot of fun, it's free, and I know you'll enjoy it. I hope you'll register.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Let's see. I think we've, and you can queue your call up. Our lines are open. Christopher is asking me about a particular company, wants to know if it's biblically responsible. Yes, it is, Christopher. That is, biblically responsible. And I'm going off the top of my head, but I'm checking it, right now as I speak. I want to make sure. Oh, no, it is not. Oh, my gosh. No. No, we're not even close. Holy mackerel, what was I thinking? I think I was thinking of Amgen. That's what I was thinking, because they're on my list. Yeah, no, it is not. They are heavily involved in the abortion industry. So, yes, there you have it. Sorry about that. Well, I'm glad I checked it. Yeah, so just so you know, so there you have it, Christopher. Well, that's not okay. When we look at the markets, things are good. Dow's up over 1.16%. It's up very close to 300 points right now. So we are getting some recovery. Oil is making a little bit of a move. As trade, you know, waiting to see if there's going to be any tensions, trade tensions in the U.S., Saudi, any kind of agreements or anything like that. So we'll have to wait and see, you know, what's going to come of that. But I'm okay with waiting and seeing as long as things stay relatively stabilized where we are right now. Oil's at 71.49. So $71.50 for a barrel of oil. So that's very good news. If you remember, a week and a half ago, we were at $75. 3 weeks ago, we were very close to $80. So we're well off our highs, and that's going to be good for gasoline prices, obviously. Brent crude oil, over $80 a barrel. Gasoline for November deliveries is up as well. Nat gas is down today. Nat gas has been on a really good run. Not so much now. It is down. So we are seeing that gas. Seeing that gas in negative territory, which it's been a little while since we've seen that happen. By the way, gold has been expecting a little bit of a rebound. They're getting that again today. They, gold is up 1234. There you go. People call me about selling it. Might be the time. I don't know how long this is going to last. But gold is up right now, 1234. I'm sorry, 1230, not 1234, 1230. Gold is at 1230. Silver is 1481. That's up a half of 1%. Copper is down on the bad news coming out of China and the Chinese markets. The European markets are gaining some ground. They did pick up. That's good. Asia finished okay the day, but Asia's got a long way to go. Still tensions growing. Seem like they're mounting more in China from a trade perspective. Looks like tensions continue to mount a little bit. I told you job openings hit a record, not a 30-year record, an all-time high record. We have never had a time in the U.S. economy, never had a time in the U.S. economy where we had 7.1 job openings to be filled. Can I ask you if anybody remembers who said this was going to be a problem? Do you remember that? As a matter of fact, I wrote an article, two articles about it. One was an article that I wrote back, middle of last year. And then I reissued, made a couple changes, not on the premise of the article, but made a, updated it and republished the article. I probably ought to republish the republished article again to try to get my point across. But unfortunately, nobody at the Immigration Department and nobody in Congress has called me about this. I'm surprised, aren't you? Why haven't they called me? What's the matter with these people? But they haven't called me. Nobody's talked to me about it. I wrote this article. Scares me sometimes when I see these things. Again, I'm going to hold out the premise that I'm not that smart. I'm just willing to talk about it and see these things and read between the lines. But I said, I'll go back to the first article that I wrote last year. I said, if the economy goes, we know that it's already going this way, but I said, if the economy goes like President Trump believes it's going to go, and like so many of us believe like it's going to go, we've got a big, big problem. And our big problem is not illegal immigration. Our big problem is legal immigration. That is the problem. And the very first thing we ought to be doing right now, and this was 18 months ago, 2 years ago, I don't know, it was a while ago when I wrote this article. I said, if this happens, we've got a big problem. And our number one priority needs to be legal immigration system, and that should be all of our efforts. Because if this happens, we are not going to have any workers. What happened? 3 months in a row, now we're up to a record high of 7.1 job openings. Why? Because we can't get a legal immigration system worked out. I'm telling you, I don't know this for a fact, but I bet we've got 7.1 million people that are ready to come to America and work for a better way of life. These are people that can be well vetted, that are want to assimilate in the American economy and the American way of life and to be a part of the American culture. We can't fill jobs. We don't have any workers. We don't have any people. And we're worried about illegal immigration. We better be worried about illegal immigration. I got one of our producers that's trying to do the best he can from Brazil. Why? Because he had to go back. Great worker, great guy. We were glad to have him. We were blessed. He fulfilled a great need in our ministry. And he had to pack up and leave. He didn't want to leave. He had every intention and his desire still is to live in America, to raise a family here in America. That's what he wants. But he had to go home because the American immigration system is archaic. And he didn't fall through the cracks. He just got denied. They're overwhelmed. They don't know what they're doing. They need to streamline it. They need to add people. They need to... We live in a world of real-time data and technology that can vet people very quickly, particularly people like the fellow that worked here that are coming from developed nations that have systems. This was somebody that wanted to assimilate into America. We should be having a resurgence. We should be needing to open up Ellis Island as an immigration center, not as a tourist center. That's how bad it should be. We should be able to do that so that we can continue on this track of growing the economy. And I said back then that it's going to derail the economy. Oh, listen, everybody published the article, but it never got any legs because nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody saw the validity of it. They're seeing it now when we have 7.1 million job openings. Far more than we have people unemployed. Then you factor in those people that are unemployed can't fill a whole lot of these job openings because they don't have the qualifications for one reason or another. Maybe they're scientists and one of those job openings are in the construction field. Maybe they're construction workers and one of those job openings is a computer programmer. You got to add that in there as well. But we're not doing anything about it. And I know that the political hot button is illegal immigration. I'm all for it, all about it. We got to stop it. We got to vet it. We got to slow it down. But we have got to have, as President Trump always says, that big door in the wall so legal people can come in. How about we get the wall there, the door there first before we build the wall even? Because we need workers in America. I'm not saying this because I see a number like 7.1 and I'm doing what so many others are going to be writing about in op-ed all over the country this weekend that are saying, duh, we got a problem here with illegal immigration. I said it a long time ago when we could have fixed it and we could have done something about it. We wouldn't have this problem. We have the technology and the abilities to be efficient, to be effective. And to change our legal immigration system. And we still haven't done it. It's not that hard to figure out, folks. But for some reason, we are having trouble in this administration and in our immigration system. We're having trouble figuring that out. I know where the priorities lie. And I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying, we've got to be able to juggle more than one ball at a time. Every single department of the government has to learn to juggle more than one ball. Well, I can't work on illegal immigration. I'm all caught up in the illegal immigration. Okay. Well, somehow, how about on Tuesdays and Thursdays you focus on legal immigration, the other 3 days you focus on illegal immigration. Can you do that? Can we hire more people? It's a pivotal, should be a pivotal, a critical priority to keep the tailwinds of the economy blowing. Folks, I know a lot of you've got to leave us right now. If you do, I hope you'll be back tomorrow. If not, we got another hour here. So more financial issues after this. If you got to leave us,
the opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.